All right, I'm going to kick it off reading from James. It's James chapter 3, starting in verse 13. If you consider yourself to be wise and one who understands the ways of God, advertise it with a beautiful, fruitful life guided by wisdom's gentleness. Never brag or boast about what you've done, and you'll prove to be truly wise. But if there is bitter jealousy or competition hiding in your heart, then don't deny it and try to compensate for it by boasting and being phony. For that has nothing to do with God's heavenly wisdom, but can best be described as the wisdom of this world, both selfish and devilish. So wherever jealousy and selfishness are uncovered, you will also find many troubles of every kind of meanness. But the wisdom from above is always pure, filled with peace, considerate, and teachable. It is filled with love and never displays prejudice or hypocrisy in any form, and it always bears the beautiful harvest of righteousness. Good seeds of wisdom's fruit will be planted with peaceful acts by those who cherish making peace. So a few of the characteristics here that stick out for me. Wisdom from above is always pure. It's filled with peace. It's considerate. It's teachable. It's filled with love. Never displays prejudice or hypocrisy. Always bears righteousness. One thing that really stuck out to me in this was the fact that he was saying, don't brag about it. Don't brag about being wise. The advertisement for wisdom in your life is the fruit that you bear. So let that do the speaking for you. There's no need to brag. Think about the people that you know to be wise. Consider those people. Have you heard them say things like, hey, I'm wise, or I have wisdom here? You know, they don't go around wearing a t-shirt that says wise, which actually would be kind of a smart idea, I guess. But how do you know? Typically, they don't know that, right? So how do you know a wise person? How do they become a person that you can go seek wisdom from? If they've never listed wise as an attribute of theirs on their resume, and they never told you, how do you acknowledge them to be a wise person? Is it a title that they have? Do they have a certain title so you feel like they have to be wise? Are they a pastor? Do they own a business? Do they have a huge following on social media? You know, most influencers these days are a little more than just charismatic in their ways, right? Charisma does not equate to wisdom. And a lot of times, you know, they may have 10% knowledge, 10% experience, and the 80% is charisma. And so they're able to make everyone believe, and they get this huge following. If you're looking for wisdom in these sort of search parameters, you're going to fill your life most likely with false wisdom. You're going to fill your current situation with an earthly wisdom, and it's an incomplete wisdom. And then sometimes the info you receive as wisdom, it's presented you as wisdom, it's really just tips to sell yourself, right? How to build your own following. I would encourage you to evaluate how you search for wisdom. Don't just evaluate it, scrutinize it with a fine-tooth comb. How you search for wisdom is in fact a good indicator of how wise of a person you are. Now, wisdom is something that we grow in, right? No matter how wise you are, there's always room to grow. And you will continue to grow in wisdom until we reach heaven, right? We should be constantly plugging into the source of wisdom, God the Father. He will always download new things. He will reveal new things to you. He'll also remind you of old things that maybe you've forgotten about. Because sometimes we do that, right? We lose sight of a promise or a vision or a word that he gave us. And so then it's a couple of years later, and then he reminds us of that. But plugging in is how that happens. If you never plug in, you'll never hear his voice. Now, how many people you've been like worshiping your face off in an awesome worship set, and then God reminds you of something? Like, do you remember a couple of years ago I told you this? He reminded you of a promise that you had. That only happens because you plugged in. You laid it all down and you worshiped your face off to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You made space for that. You plugged in and made that connection. We should plug in more often, right? All right, so I'm going to put a picture on the board. It's just a crude graphic. It's very simple. I threw this together, so it's not true to scale or anything like that. I do want to point out, though, that I used circles. I love circles. Circles are my favorite shape. How many of you like circles? How many of you have signed up for a circle for this next semester? Right? Small groups are where it's at. I heard somewhere that if we are the body of Christ, then small groups are the cells. If the church is the body of Christ, then small groups are the cells. So I just thought that was awesome. So there's still time to sign up for that, so please do that. It'll change your life. So I created this image, and I believe this is God's design for wisdom in what our life and what it's supposed to look like. So think of wisdom as a triad. You have the revelation circle, the logic circle, and the emotion circle. Now, they won't all be the same size. Some people lead with logic. Some people lead with emotion. But revelation should be your biggest circle, because that's where God dwells. That's the space you make for God. His design for us was to always walk with him in relationship. He's created us with tools in our belt, but we are incomplete unless we maintain communion with him. Have you ever tried to hammer a nail with a screwdriver? I have. I mean, I was too lazy to go get one, so I was like, I'll use this, you know. And it worked-ish. How many have tried to saw something with a tape measure? What do you know? I have one right here. Now, none of you can leave for lunch until I get through this table, okay? Nobody jumped up, okay. That sounds silly, right? But that's what we do when we approach life with earthly wisdom, right? He is not only the missing pieces in our belt, but he is also the toolbox in which we were meant to abide. Now, when I was thinking of the analogy of the tools, I started with a tool belt. You know, I pictured God giving us tools, and then we're going through life. But when you wear a tool belt, it kind of like promotes self-sufficiency. So we're never meant to stray too far from the box, okay? The more we are in the box, the more tools we will have. We were never meant to do it on our own. So yeah, so we have the revelation circle, the logic circle, and the emotions circle. You can think of it like spirit, mind, and body, if that helps. Now, I'm not a psychologist, so like I said, this is kind of crude. I did stay in a Holiday Inn once, but for those of you who remember that old commercial. Anyway, not all the circles will be the same size. Revelation circle should be given the biggest space. So what is in the revelation circle? Revelation is the voice of God, but it's also the nature of God. So the more time you spend leaning on the revelation circle is key. That's why it should be the biggest. The size of your revelation circle is determined by how much time you either spend at his feet or in his lap. Now, moving on to the logic circle, that's your mind, that's your thinking. You could probably put your five senses in here because what you see is what you believe and what you hear, you know, it's his truth. So this is the space where you can deduce or analyze or think. Now, I can catch myself leading from this circle. I am way more logical and less emotional. So my emotion circle is probably just a small dot on the page, like a period. And then, yes. So, and have you ever heard that the phrase like lost in your head or lost in your headspace? That's me quite often. So if you ever see me and I'm just kind of like in this zone, I'm not here. I'm in my brain, sorry. But I'm getting better. He gave us the ability to think and to deduce and figure things out. But are we allowing his voice into this space, or are we just bouncing ideas off of ourselves? Logic alone is not wisdom. Also, if you live in this space too much, it could be a breeding ground for regret. I mean, I don't know how many times I've left a conversation and I am immediately thinking back, like, oh, I should have said this and this would have happened, or I should have done this and this would have happened. If I would have only done this, I'm just bouncing ideas off of my head. And it doesn't even matter because the moment is past. If you stay here too long, you could be living in regret. Now, it's okay to process things, but don't let those thoughts become like this whirlwind in your brain with no place to go. So think inlets and outlets. Allow God's voice to share this space, revealing the flaws in your thinking, and then you can flush them out. Now, on to the emotion circle. Like I said, this is my smallest circle. This is probably my wife's biggest circle. Just kidding, Revelation is always the biggest. Just kidding. But with Holy Spirit's help, it's growing for me. You know, I said I tend to lead with logic, and most of my life I haven't given space for emotion in my daily life. But one thing that I've asked Holy Spirit for in this season is to unlock a few things there. Because when your emotions are synced up with everything else, the experience is unparalleled. Also, knowing more how to feel is a revelation of God's heart in more detail. Your emotions are important, and how you feel about something with synced up to God's heart is vital to connecting with others. It's vital for compassion. It's vital for empathy. If you lack the ability to use your emotions, you're probably not very empathetic. Now, when you try to rely on logic, emotion alone, you're basically saying you don't need God, which that's earthly wisdom. We were designed with those tools in our body of logic and emotion, but when you take the revelation out of it, then you're saying you don't need God, or you can figure it all out on your own. We were created in his image. That's why he's given us those things that we can do so well, right? But we were never meant to live apart from him. Emotion says, follow your heart. Logic says, seeing is believing. But revelation says, but God. And how many of us need that but God a lot of times, right? Revelation teaches us to depend on someone bigger than ourselves. Logic and emotion alone teaches self-sufficiency, and it encourages isolation. When all three work hand in hand, it teaches dependency and childlikeness. It encourages relationship, and most of all requires faith. Now, some of us need to exercise our faith muscle a little more, right? We're weak in this area. It's crazy though, but the revelation circle is actually the easiest one to grow. It requires the least physically of us. But we don't want to do it because we have to give up time. Right? We don't want to give up time. That's our most valuable commodity. But to grow your revelation circle, it's about spending time with him. So the more you give, the more you allow for that space to grow. Your level of wisdom is determined by how much time you're willing to spend with him, period. Earthly wisdom is when you shrink your revelation circle to where it's just like a dot on the page. You can't fully get rid of it, because as spiritual beings, we were designed to receive revelation. So you can't fully get rid of your circle, but you can shrink it down. Or you can replace the voice that's in the circle. You can replace it with another form of revelation. We were designed for revelation. So who's in your revelation circle? Could be other gods, other idols, could be other human voices. That's the most common, I believe, for us, is other human voices. This space was designed for God's voice and God's voice alone. We are hardwired that way. But what is filling this circle for you? All right, everyone, close your eyes for a moment and hold your hands out. I'm just going to say a quick prayer. Father God, we are sorry for putting something in this circle, this revelation circle that was only meant for you. Father God, we ask that you show us what it is. Show us what we're trying to replace your voice with so we can cut it out. In Jesus' name. All right, so going back to wisdom itself and how you know if you're wise. The fruit of wisdom is how you know. Now, I'm going to give you five characteristics of wisdom, and I want everybody to write them down. Now, this is from Proverbs, and there probably are 100 more characteristics, but I'm going to focus on these. I feel like Holy Spirit wants that. Everyone needs to write them down because I'm going to give you homework. And you need to know what they are. So the screen should say wise people blank. All right. We ready? Awesome. The first one, wise people are teachable. Proverbs 12:15 says, a fool's way is right in his own eyes, but the wise listen to advice. Now, we aren't born there. We don't have it all when we're born, right? We have to grow. This continues our whole life. Are you one of those people, though, that's humble enough to say that you don't have it figured out? Humble enough to say, I don't have all the answers? Or are you one of those people that when wisdom presents itself to you, your initial response is, I know, I know. Oh, I know, I know, I know. I know, I know. It's funny, but so many of us do that. We think we have it figured out, or we think we don't need someone's help. I was that person for the long time until someone finally said, well, if you know, how come you're not doing it? But a lot of times our stance is, I know, I know, I know. Like, I don't need you to tell me, I got it. But maybe you do. Maybe you do need me to tell you, right? Are you that person? Are you someone who's humble to listen and receive wisdom and process it? If you can't listen to someone that you can see, how can you sit and listen to someone you can't see, right? It doesn't add up there. When you approach a teachable moment with the stance of I know, then you've immediately told your brain, I don't need this. And you flush it out. And I want to say, as a person who thinks logically, for the longest time, I thought my thoughts were superior than other people's thoughts. That sounds snobbish, doesn't it? But I spent so much time in my head that I trusted that space too much. Things bounced off, ideas bounced off, they were analyzed, overanalyzed, triple analyzed. So I trusted my own thoughts more than anyone else's thoughts. I thought they were superior. Now, if I have this superior stance to everybody, what does that do to me? It isolates me, right? It isolates me. Don't lead with your logic circle. All right, the second thing, wise people spend time with wise people. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men is wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to advice and accept instruction, so in the end you may be wise. Who do you surround yourself with? Who do you spend the most time with? Are you spending time with people that are going to point you to God? But not just point you to God, but encourage you to hear God's voice for yourself. I mean, it's awesome that your friends are Christians, but are they encouraging you to grow, to hear God's voice for yourself, or are they merely just God's voice for you? Remember, the biggest influence will take up the most space in your revelation circle. Does your circle encourage you to expand that? If you're choosing your friends based off of how they make you feel, then you're probably leading with your emotion circle. Because they're just tickling your senses, right? You make me feel good about myself. So you're leading with your emotion circle. All right, so the third thing, wise people follow the right path. Proverbs 14:2 says, those who follow the right path fear the Lord. Those who take the wrong path despise him. Proverbs 14:8 says, the prudent understand where they are going, but fools deceive themselves. It's not just about knowing the right path. Knowing is knowledge. Wisdom is when you choose to take the right path, right? And it's not just in a fork in the road or a decision that has to be made. Wisdom is being diligent to stay on the path until the journey ends. Or until you reach your destination for that path, until the Lord tells you to move on. This is where discipline is key. Discipline is wisdom in action. Look, when the road is long and weary, your logic, your emotion is going to tell you to change paths. If it gets too hard, if it gets too treacherous, and you're listening to your logic and you're listening to your emotion, it's going to tell you to change paths. Like, this feels uncomfortable. This can't be the right way. Those waves look dangerous. This can't be the right way, right? You have to lean heavy on the revelation circle here. The voice of God is crucial for encouragement, but what you know about the nature of God will carry you when the storm rages and it's hard to hear his voice. It's in the revelation space where you know the voice of God and you discover to learn his nature. That's where it's revealed. That's why it's so vital and important. So wise people follow the right path. All right, so the fourth thing, wise people show self-control. Proverbs 14, 16, and 17 says, the wise are cautious and avoid danger, but fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. Short-tempered people do foolish things, and schemers are hated. Are you rash in your decisioning? Do you react emotionally without thinking? Or do you let a combination of what you know, what you understand, and God's grace guide your responses? Self-control is one of the hardest parts of the fruit of the Spirit to cultivate. It directly contradicts our flesh sometimes, right? Well, if it's good, it's okay. Well, that's not always true. Well, you can't have too much of a good thing, right? Well, if that good thing isn't God, then yes, you can. You could be filling the space with goodness that tickles the senses as opposed to the good that truly satisfies. So evaluate your self-control. All right, so the final thing, number five, wise people are builders. Proverbs 24:3 says, wise people are builders. They build families, businesses, communities, and through intelligence and insight, their enterprises are established and endure. Because of their skilled leadership, the hearts of people are filled with treasures of wisdom and the pleasures of spiritual wealth. Bridges, homes, communities, hopes, dreams, you name it, wise people build it. Wise people put God's thoughts and words into action. If you're someone who's set on blowing things up, if you're someone who is set on deconstruction as the goal, if you're someone who is set on making life around you chaos, just for chaos' sake, then the fruit of your life is not wisdom. This one is a very big indicator of how wisdom is in your life and how it shows. If you lean toward isolation, you're not building. You're not building community. You're not building relationship. You're not building connection. Spiritual wisdom always bears the fruit of connection, the fruit of the relationship, and the fruit of reconciliation. Period. If in all your knowledge spitting and advice giving, it doesn't draw people to God through Jesus, then it's not godly wisdom that you're speaking of. All right, did everybody get those five things? Do I need to read them again? I'll just read them again. So wise people are teachable. Wise people spend time with wise people. Wise people follow the right path. Wise people show self-control. Wise people are builders. All right, so this coming week, I want you to do two things. The first thing is, I want you to plug into the source every day. No excuses. Jesus is the answer to everything. But why don't we go to him for everything? I know, right? Now, if you already spend time with Jesus every day, awesome. Spend a little bit more. Commit to spend a little bit more, okay? And if you don't spend time with him every day, I want you to commit every day this week, even if it's 5-10 minutes, give him some space. Let's grow that revelation circle. Let's hear the voice of God. Let's learn his nature. So the first thing is plug in every day to the source. The second thing, I want you to evaluate yourself according to the five characteristics that you wrote down. And as you're plugging into the source, I want you to ask Father God to show you, ask Holy Spirit to show you areas in your life that need to be cultivated. You may think that you have all five down, but wait until you get in that revelation circle and he shines a little light. It may not look how you think. Okay? So plug in every day. No excuses. And I want you to evaluate your life. Evaluate the fruit of your wisdom according to these five characteristics. Like I said, there are many other characteristics, but Holy Spirit wants us to focus on these for this week, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you allow us to live in a space where you can talk to us directly, where you're not afraid to reveal parts of yourself to us as we need them. We realize, Father, that you are the source of all the things that we need, God. And all we have to do is sit at your feet, God, or sit in your lap, God. Thank you for the New Testament covenant, God, that allows us to be able to come and do that, God. We don't need anyone else to be able to come to you. Jesus' sacrifice was enough. And we want more of you, God, because you're worth it. You're worth it. We ask, God, that you unlock a passion and a desire in each and every one of us to want to spend more time with you, to plug in every day. We don't need all the lights and sounds to worship our faces off. All we need is space with you and time with you, God. show us those things that are taking up the time that we need to be given to you so we can cut them out, God. We ask, God, that you show us the fruit of our wisdom in our life. Help us to compare it to the five characteristics that were given to us today so we can cut off the bad fruit, prune away the bad fruit, and grow. Because all we want to do is grow, God. We want to grow with you. We thank you, God. You're so awesome and you're so incredible. There is none like you. There is none like you, God. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.